Titled Be Strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Amen. If you are taking notes, and many of you do, here's the main idea for this morning's message. In the spiritual war, being strong in the Lord is the key to everyday victory. In the spiritual war, being strong in the Lord is the key to everyday victory. Again, in this morning's message, as I was constructing it, as I was praying about it, the goal is clarity, not poetry. I want to be as clear as I can be. The title, Be Strong in the Lord. The main idea, in the spiritual war, being strong in the Lord is the key to everyday victory. Now, many times when we read Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 and following, when we read the passage or we hear it shared by someone, we tend to accentuate, be strong. And then we go into the rest of the passage and we start marching into the other descriptions about all the other armor. But this morning, I am going to focus on that one sentence. And that's why I read it and I said, amen. I'm focusing on that one sentence, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Not just be strong, not just be tough, not be disciplined, not be vigilant. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We don't want to just get past strong and hop into how we're going to use all the armor and all that, which is where we go. I want to talk about what it means to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, because that is the catalyst, that's the activator, if you will, for what follows. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In Psalm 18, verse 1, David writes, I love You, O Lord, my strength. My strength, not the one who gives me strength. You are my strength. The Lord Himself is my strength. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples as He is about to ascend, He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you. The power belongs to the Holy Spirit. It's not our power, it's His power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I love You, O Lord, my strength. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's not just, think of it this way, the Lord is not just the gas station where we go and fill up and then off on our merry ways. With His power in the tank. That's not what He's saying here. What He's saying here is He's the gas station and the vehicle. It's His power at all times. It's never our power. It's never our power. It's always His power. It's not a matter of us spending time in the Lord building up our spiritual muscles so we get strong. That's not how it works. Memorization and prayer and discipline and fellowship and all the things we do not make us strong. What they do is they help us to tap into and to access His strength. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. You don't get strong one day and hop off the vine and become your own vine. That's not how it works. I am the vine. I always will be the vine, and you are the branches. You draw from my strength. I am your strength. I gave a message on April 15th titled, "And Then I Remember I Have You." And then I remember I have you. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." On God's power. Not in my showmanship as a communicator, Paul is saying. I don't want you to be overly impressed with my skill as a biblical scholar. I don't want you to single out my spirituality as a man of God. I want your faith to rest on the power of God. It's always His power, His mighty power, not our mighty power. We're always going to need Him. And this is what we need to remember. Being strong in the Lord means being strong in accepting and receiving and being filled with His power. His power is never separated from His presence or His person. See, this gets back to relationship. I don't want to just zap you with my power, Yvette. I want to be along with you. I want to be your power. The relationship that you have with me is where the power is coming from as I work through you, as I inspire you, as I give you perseverance. It's not your perseverance. It's mine. I'm giving it to you. Wow. It is not about us. It is about Him. And see, this is for every human being, whether you're a believer or not, because it says in the book of Acts, in Him we move and we breathe and we exist. In Colossians, it says He holds all things together. It's all about His power. Not only will we fare better in the spiritual war that we're engaged in when we realize this, not only will we fare better, but as we are engaged in this process, our relationship with the Lord becomes fuller and richer and more real. And ultimately, that's what He wants with us. He doesn't want us to just be able to go out and be effective doers. Anything He wants done, He can do. What He wants with us is a relationship in which we are so connected with Him that we recognize it is His power. As Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life you see me living by faith, I live by the life that you see me living in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." This is going to become clearer because we're going to talk about what this means. What does this look like? How do I access this? It's important to know what it means to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord, it says. Be strong because life is unpredictable. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. Be strong, but not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. Put no confidence in your flesh, but be strong in the Lord because life is unpredictable. Be strong in the Lord. Sudden and unimaginable things can happen at any time in your life. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord because the evil one prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. There will be casualties in this spiritual war that we're engaged in. Casualties that affect the people who are nearest to us and dearest to us. Be strong in the Lord. Don't wilt. Don't faint. Don't fade. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord because people change. The famous line from Gladiators, the mob is fickle, brother. David's own soldiers talked about stoning him. Paul was abandoned, he said, by everyone in the province of Asia. On the night that Jesus was arrested, Mark 14 tells us these simple words. It says, of the night that Jesus was arrested, then everyone deserted him and fled. Nothing is scarier than an ultra scary situation that you have to face all alone. Be strong in the Lord. And there are times when we find ourselves in those places, all of us, when even surrounded by people who love us and care for us and want the best for us and would do anything for us, we find ourselves in those places from time to time where we are alone, even with people around us. No one understands the disappointment. No one understands the frustration. No one understands the pain. No one understands what we're going through in that place. Be strong in the Lord. But being strong in the Lord is not just for life's difficulties. It'll also enhance our experience of the eternal life that we've been given. Your joy in Him, the preciousness of your relationship with Him, these will blossom when you're strong in the Lord. Your recognition of the riches in Him that surround you will sharpen if you're strong in the Lord. I was thinking this morning about how what a blessing and what a miracle and a marvel it is that we have eternal life right now. That what we are living right now, what we're sharing with one another, the joy that we experience, the fellowship that we experience, the invigoration that we receive from one another's faith, times when we're sitting alone with the Lord and we're reading the scriptures and the scripture pops out at us and we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Or when we're singing a song and all of a sudden that song catches fire and ignites another song and another song. And as Brother Avon sent me a text, he was caught in the throes of praise and hallelujah, and he just had to send me a text. And it was just bubbling all off the phone screen. He was having such a great time, and he couldn't explain it. He couldn't contain it, so he was just going with it. That's eternal life. The mystery of our Savior walking with us, that's eternal life. That's what we've been given. Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in the one who sent me in John 5:24 has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. We have it right now. We're enjoying it right now. And when we are being strong in the Lord, it enhances the experience of eternal life. We begin to recognize the Lord in subtle ways. We begin to experience the Lord in big and small ways. And sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the Lord, we say, Lord, relent. I can't take it anymore. And other times, there's quiet moments where the Lord appears to be absent for long stretches of time, maybe. And then one day, and we don't even know what day it is, but one day, he clears his throat. Just to let us know, I'm here. Be strong in the Lord. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? You may have different ways of capturing this. If when you read that verse, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, if something clicks into place for you in terms of what that means, and that works for you, go with it. For the rest of us, here are some suggestions. And these are suggestions that, these are attributes that we find consistently in the scripture. And as I mention them, you'll be able to even think of biblical characters, and even in your own life experience, how these things help you to be strong in the Lord. The first one, I'm going to give you three. The first one is, to be utterly dependent on the Lord. And that doesn't mean what you think it's going to mean, but write it down. Number one, to be utterly dependent on the Lord. And number two, to stay continually engaged with the Lord. And number three is to be confident of your status in Christ. Those three things. I'm going to take them one at a time. Be utterly dependent on the Lord, stay continually engaged with the Lord, and be confident of your status in Christ. Let's talk about this thing about being utterly dependent on the Lord. What do I mean by that? I don't mean squinting harder in prayer. If I squint harder, the Lord will hear me better. Or I'll really mean it if I'm squinting hard. Squint if you like, but that's not what I mean. Squeezing our laced fingers more tightly. Oh, God, please. That's not what I mean either. I don't mean generating more passion. I don't mean generating more volume in your prayers as though God can't hear you. I don't mean more emotion. Here's what I mean. I mean, everything is falling apart. And instead of insisting that the Lord hold it all together for you, trust that the Lord can put it back together after it's fallen apart or create something completely new. Lazarus was dead. We were looking at this in Sunday school, and I was amazed that we were studying this this morning. Lazarus was dead. Mary and Martha's heart, naturally speaking, wanted Jesus to prevent him from dying. Their trust was in a particular result that they preferred. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that's one kind of faith. And that's fine, to trust God for the results that we want. He asks us to do that. Ask, seek, knock, pour out your hearts before him. Nothing wrong with that. But there's something more. And there was something more that the Lord wanted to give Mary and Martha. He had a better idea than preventing Lazarus from dying. He said, wait until you see what I'm going to do. This is what you want me to do. But trust me for what I'm going to do. I know what you want. And I waited. He waited, of course, until Lazarus died. Because there was something that Jesus wanted to give them more than a resurrected brother, even. He wanted to give them something more than a brother whose health was preserved. And he wanted to give them something more than a resurrected brother. He wanted to give them a knowledge of who he was that they would never have gotten had Lazarus not died. They learned some things about their Lord that day when he came walking into Bethany after Lazarus had died. When their sorrow, they learned something about Jesus that day that they would not have learned otherwise. And so when I talk about being utterly dependent upon him, I'm talking about don't panic. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. That's another way of, don't panic. Stuff can fall apart. Stuff will fall apart. But I am still here. I got a phone call from one of my cousins yesterday. I got a text first from my sister. And she said, call your cousin. She's desperate. And I was busy working on the message. I had a convenient excuse to not call my cousin because I know how dramatic babies can be. But I was thinking about this morning's message. And I was thinking, you know what? Whose strength am I really trusted in here? And I decided that I was going to give her a call. And sure enough, she didn't disappoint me. There was more drama in the first 5 seconds of that phone call than most of us encounter in a week. She was shouting. She was sobbing. She was in absolute agony. She was in overwhelming distress. And that was just in the first 5 seconds. In fact, when she heard my voice, she said, Daddy! That was literally how she greeted me. And I listened, and I talked to her. You know what came out of the sobbing? I love my cousin. What came out of the sobbing was, I know that the Lord wants to give me a closer relationship with him, and I want that. I do. I do. And she meant it. And she meant it. And as we talked, I said to her, I said, cousin, you have the treasure. If that is your conviction, you've got the treasure. Don't let the enemy think that something else out there is more precious than what you've got. I know it hurts. I know you're scared. I know it feels like the walls have caved in. But you have the treasure. If God has blessed you to see that, dear, you've got it. There is no greater treasure than a closer relationship with him. It's not an accessory that you wear on your wrist with all your other baubles. There is nothing in life that is greater than knowing your Savior and knowing him better and getting closer to him. That is the treasure. That's Bible. That's scripture. That's biblical priority. There is nothing better than that. I said, and you can put that truth on the floor in a pile and sit on the floor with it and throw it up over your head and say, I'm rich, I'm rich, because you are. And you know what happened? She calmed down. And we talked about that very idea. And I was absolutely amazed by the clarity that my dramatic cousin had about what is truly valuable. And she was in distress, and she needed help, like all of us do when we're in distress. There are days when I wake up, oh, please, I mean, I say it. Outside, I'm Pastor Dan, but inside, I'm, oh, please, So I could relate. Might have a little bit different style. But she was aware that she had the truest, truest treasure. I told her, I said, cousin, you got the treasures in hand. The treasures of life are not always in the pleasures of life. The treasures of life, the true treasures of life, are hidden in Christ. We like the pleasures. We pray for the pleasures. We want things to be easy. We want things to work. We want stuff fixed. Nobody signs up for chaos. Nobody signs up for trauma. But the treasures of life are in Christ. And because the treasures of life are hidden in Christ, they are ours whether things are pleasurable or whether things are just going to someplace else. Right? That's the truth. Being strong in the Lord means being utterly dependent upon Him, trusting Him ultimately not for our results, but for the best results, whatever they are. That's what it means to be strong in the Lord. Don't let what's happening all around you fake you out. Don't let that fake you out. You've got it. If you've got Him, you've got it. And the evil one will do everything in his power to try to obscure that truth. But that is the reality. Utterly dependent. You know, no one's ever gotten in trouble. You say, well, God gave us a brain, people say. I always hear that when you start talking about faith. God gave you a brain. Use it. Use it. And they say it with derision in their voice. Like, that faith thing is good, you know, kind of wear that, but when it really gets down to it, God gave you a brain. Really use that brain of yours. That's what you use. The faith thing is good. It's all right. It's good. Sunday, maybe, you know, in the morning when you're praying, but use that brain. And you know what I say? I say, no one has ever, as far as I know, looking at the scriptures, no one has ever gotten in trouble by trusting God too much. I have never seen a verse anywhere where the Lord said, you know what, you are just too dependent on me. You got a brain, use it. I've never seen that. I have never seen God's assessment of the situation that way. What I have seen is when people have used their brains, they've gotten in trouble because they've forgotten dependence. It says, professing to become wise, it says in Romans 1. Using their brains, professing to be wise, they became fools. So the Lord says, depend on me. Be utterly dependent upon me. Don't think you are too dependent on me. I hear people talking about, Lord, give me a parking spot. Fine. Pray for your parking spot. Why not? What do you have to lose? You have not because you asked not. Maybe some of y'all going all around and stuff, and all you can say is, Lord, give me a parking spot. Be utterly dependent. And if He doesn't give you the parking spot, Lord, I'm content to walk. I need to exercise. Second, being strong in the Lord means continually engaged with the Lord. Can I tell you that one of the greatest lessons of my life in Christ, arguably the most important lesson that I have learned, I am heading into my 40th year as a believer, and I've been sort of marking the way along the way heading up to September 27th, when it will be 40 years in the Lord. And I would like to tell you that the greatest lesson, arguably, I have to think about some others, but this is right up there. One of the greatest lessons of my spiritual walk with Christ is the Lord teaching me that He's not only concerned about what I'm doing, He's concerned about how I am doing. He had to sit me down for a while to teach me that. He had to take my doing power away. He had to put me in a place of can't. He had to put me in a place of won't. He had to put me in a place of disillusionment, of disorientation, to teach me this lesson. But thank you, Jesus, I learned it. Amen. I learned it. I believe it. I've never forgotten it. It has radically changed my faith and the way I approach my Savior. I serve Him now because I know He loves me whether I do or not. Before, I served Him hoping that He would love me when I didn't. He is not only concerned about what I am doing, He is more concerned about how I am doing. He's not a merciless taskmaster who only wants me to produce, who only wants me to obey no matter how I feel. He's not the Nike commercial, just do it. He looks at the heart, the scripture says. And not only does He look at the heart, He cares for my heart. He cares for my heart. And when we believe this, we find ourselves praying without ceasing and staying engaged. When we believe this, that's what causes us to want to pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is not a big old chore that now we're looking at as, oh gosh, I haven't been really faithful in my prayer. Let me get back to it. It becomes an inspiring opportunity to connect with our friends. So when He says love is patient and you aren't, stay engaged. When He says love is kind and you aren't, stay engaged. When He says love is not jealous and you are, stay engaged. When He says forgive and you don't want to forgive, stay engaged. When you're disappointed and you feel like you've disappointed Him, stay engaged. This is what it means to be strong in the Lord. Stay engaged. Don't let the evil one deceive you away, pull you away in a cloud of shame, cause you to isolate yourself from the very one who's there to help you. When you're sad, stay engaged. When you're disappointed, stay engaged. And stay engaged not just asking Him to fix stuff, but be joyfully engaged with Him, to enjoy Him. Stay engaged. Enjoy Him. Spending time with Him when there's no urgency or crisis. Paul said, rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard for us. One of the best facilitators of joy is giving thanks. Oh no, not again, Pastor. You talked about that last week. I know that. I know that. It's not what we know, right? It's never about what we know. It's what we practice. It's never about what's new. It's about what's true. What's true? It's about, is this truth active in our lives? Stay engaged, thanking Him not just for blessing us as we perceive blessing, but thanking Him for who He is to us. Stay engaged. Don't limit your relationship with the Lord to distress management. And if you aren't thankful, stay engaged. And third, being strong in the Lord means being confident in your status in Christ. No matter what the devil says about you, no matter what others say or think about you, no matter what you think about you, being strong in the Lord means being confident of what God thinks of you in Christ and because of Christ, and clinging to that, rehearsing that, not moving away from that. What does God think of me in Christ and because of Christ? That is who I am before God. That is who I am where it matters most. That is who I am when this life ends and all the other people who are making assessments don't matter at all. And that day is coming. The question is, what does God think of me in Christ? That's just the gospel, rehearsing what Jesus did for me and how he sees me. That's how I'm strong in the Lord. See, the evil one has no entrance when these are fortified. Where can he go? What can he do? What can he say? He is just a big mouth. He is just a deceiver. But when we are riveted and focused on these truths about being strong in the Lord, he has no place to go. He's hemmed in. He can't make the pass. Turnover is inevitable. He's trapped. But it's not our strength. All of these things have to do with being strong in his mighty power. You put all these things together and you come up with somebody who's arguably the best example of what it means to be strong in the Lord, and that's King David. I believe David was a man after God's own heart, not because of his moral superiority or because of his fearless audacity. He was a man after God's own heart because of his attitude towards God, because of what he believed God's attitude was towards him. Specifically, David believed God loved him, and he turned to the Lord no matter what. When he wiped out, messed up horribly with Bathsheba, and the Lord sent Nathan the prophet and said, "The child is going to die." What did David do? Somebody help me. What did he do? He fell down before the Lord and he fasted and sackcloth. He laid there in the presence of the Lord. No matter what. This is coming at me, but it's not going to affect the way I interpret God's love for me. This is not going to affect the way I interpret God's love for me. And it's coming from God. Oh, no. He believed God loved him and he turned to the Lord no matter what, at his worst and at his best. We know about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But let me read to you, and you don't have to turn there unless you want to. I want to read 13 quick verses out of Psalm 21 as I close. Listen to David's perspective. In light of what we've talked about being strong in the Lord, I want you to see if you can hear that reflected in these words. Listen. Psalm 21. O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. You welcomed him. You welcomed him. What do you think the Lord, we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. Sister Mary was talking about the Lord welcoming us. How do you see it when you approach him? No matter what is going on, he's welcoming you. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave. How does the song say, I'm grateful for the victories we've won? Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. It's not just distress management here. You've made me glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. The king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Not because the king is tough, not because the king is smart, but because of the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold of all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. At the time of your appearing, you will make them like a fiery furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up and his fire will consume them. Such an example of depending upon the Lord for warfare with the enemy. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. For you will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might. Ephesians 6 focuses, as we look at our focus on verse 10, being strong in the Lord, the rest of what's written will become clearer, will become easier. We don't have to sweat over, well, not see, what is the shield and what is this and what is that? I don't think Paul meant for us to just parse everything out of that. I think his point was, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Don't trust in you, trust in him. I think that was his point. Being utterly dependent, continuously engaged, confident in our status in Christ. And as Paul said to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. And I'm done. Let's stand for our benediction.